أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. We were talking about Shaitan and how is it possible that we worship him, as it was mentioned in the verse in Surah Yasin, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمْ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ. If you remember last week, we mentioned that Shaitan is a general term, is an attribute for any vicious creature, be it insan or jinn or whatever. Of course, there is a big shaitan, that is Iblis, who went ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and was expelled from his orb and vicinity. And then he is a shaitan working in this world. Now, how does shaitan work in our hearts? How does his word, how do his word spread among us? If you remember again, we said that Shaitan is a very busy person, the Iblis. He doesn't have much time to come to all of us and allocate a lot of time for every one of us. So he should spread his word with some means. And that means could be called his army. Now, he has an army. Certainly he has an army. The army is mentioned in Surah Isra, Surah number 17, verse number 64. Now, there is a conversation between Shaitan and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this surah. And Shaitan says, prior to this verse, قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَكَ هَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيْهِ لَإِنْ أَخَّرْتَنِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَأَحْتَنِكَنَّ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. What do you say about this creature of yours, which you have put him superior to me, which you have given him superiority of me? If you just give me respite until the day of judgment, you would see that I would reign all his descendants. I would control all of them, but a few. Of course, a few which he knew that he has no power over them. What do you say about this? Well, this was a suggestion put to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Shaitan, saying that you are wrong. You thought that this creature is superior to me. But if you give me respite until the day you want to resurrect them, you would see that how I would control them and how I am superior over them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ اذْهَبْ. You go. I will give you respite. And whoever follows you from among you would follow you to the hell as well. Now, then he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاسْتَقْذِرْ مَنْ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِ. Any one of them that you can, with your voice, with your shriek, you take them out of the right path. وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ. And attack them, launch attacks upon them with your foot soldiers and with your cavalry. وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. And become a partner in their children and in their property. وَعِدْهُمْ. And give them promises. وَمَا يَعِدْهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. And of course, Shaitan did not promise human, but in deception. Now, there are many, many concepts inherent in this verse. Many concepts which are put here, that if we ponder upon them, we would find out how Shaitan works in our heart. And what is the instrument? What are the capabilities of Shaitan over us? First of all, it's only a shriek, it's only a voice. There's nothing else. وَاسْتَقْذِرْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ. You want to go and deceive them? Go only with your voice. You don't use your hands, you don't use any other means, you don't have any weapon, just with your voice. You just talk to them. So this is very important. Shaitan has no power over anyone but the power of deception. He just talks. He just has a voice in our heart. He just has a voice in our mind. And that voice, if it is heard, then of course he is victorious. If it is not heard, we have defeated him. Therefore, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. The deception of shaitan is very weak. He cannot do many things. He cannot work in your heart in a type of outstanding way. It's just a voice coming from him. If you listen to that voice, okay, shaitan is very happy. If he does not listen, he doesn't have any other power. He cannot use any other means. He cannot use his hands. He cannot use his weapon or whatever. But he is not allowed. He has foot soldiers and he has cavalry. Meaning that he doesn't usually come to us himself. He sends his soldiers to us. And that soldiers, foot soldiers, we will see later on, foot soldiers of shaitan are us. We are his foot soldiers. We go to each other, we call each other to wrong causes. We are his foot soldiers. Of course, foot soldiers is much weaker than cavalry. Cavalry are the jinn, the shayateen which he has in his, from his own kind, that they come and attack us. And what they do, the only thing that they do is, they just give promise. Now, this is very important, because this is mentioned in many different places of the Quran, that shaitan works in our heart in this way. He just gives us promises. And he brings for us different types of aspirations. Now, in Surah Nisa, verse 120, the type of work that shaitan do in our hearts, type of work that he is doing in our soul, is mentioned as يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّهُ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. He gives you promises and he brings for you aspirations. Umniyah is an aspiration, is desire. He brings for you desires which do not deserve you, of course, which is just deceptive desire. And promises which are deceptive promises. Now, what this means, of course, you cannot see shaitan in your heart. You cannot see shaitan in work in your soul. But if you imagine, if you ponder a bit more carefully, we cannot see shaitan because, of course, he is of other kind. And that other kind is as such that they see us, we don't see them. إِنَّهُ يَرَاهُ in Surah Araf, إِنَّهُ يَرَاهُ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ. He and his type, that jinn, he and his type, they see you from a position that you do not see them. مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُ. They see you, you do not see them. And what they do, the only thing they do, they come to our mind, they create contemplations. They have this power over us. This is the only power. And even if they were not there, we had this power of contemplation, tahayyul. We had the power of contemplation ourselves. What they do, they bring false contemplations into our minds. False imaginations. For example, and this is the promise and the desire. So, for example, you contemplate that if I was a king, what would that happen? Then, this is just a contemplation which comes to your mind, okay? Then, this contemplation becomes a type of desire. Oh, if I was a king, what a good thing it was. What could I do? And then the promises come, the يَعِدُهُمْ. Well, if you were a king, what would have happened? You could have anything that you wanted, you could have any wife that you wanted to choose, you could have any car that you wanted to buy, and all these things. And then they make themselves as an origin for our decision. Yes, I have to become a king, I have to kill this, I have to kill that. And these are type of things which are created all the time in our minds. They cannot command us, the shayateen, to do something. They only create desires, they only create promises, they only create contemplations in our mind, in our heart. And that is how we are drawn by them, we are pushed by them forward. And if, of course, we do not give in to these contemplations, if we use the power of our reason, if we just think for a second that, well, what do I want to do with kingdom? I mean, this world is going to end very soon, I'm going to die very soon. If these type of things comes in, you will see that all the work of the shaitan would become unraveled, would become defeated. The only thing is that the reason, the intellect, would become ineffective as soon as we give in to these contemplations that shaitan create in our hearts and in our minds. And there are many things which are very easily detectable that they are from shaitan, like desires of becoming powerful over others. This is a deception from shaitan. Why do we want to be powerful over others? Why do you want to have authority over others, for example? These type of deceptions which are usually found in the mind of many people, are the type of things that are part and parcel of shaitan's deception. Now, of course, you see that these contemplations, these promises, these desires are spread by ourselves as well. When we admonish our children, we admonish them to the values which are very much like the values that shaitan wants to spread among us. When we advise a friend about what they should do in this world, with their business, with their friends or whatever, it's very much like the advice that shaitan gives us. It's all worldly based. It's all based on the idea that this world is the most important thing. You have to work for it. You have to go for it and put all your effort in it. So in this way, aren't we really spreading his word? If he wants to come to, for example, to a friend of mine and tell him that, well, don't forget, of course, Akhira is there, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you, but now the most important thing is that you have to attend to your world, to your life. This is very important. You have to get the means of your subsistence. And for your children, this is the most important thing that you have to think about now. Well, why shaitan should go to him anymore? I mean, we are spreading his word. We are his foot soldiers. And these foot soldiers are working for him, as his, of course, cavalry are working for him. He doesn't need himself to go and spread his word everywhere. He has means that spread his word. And, of course, this is the realization, the materialization of what Allah says in the Quran, وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجَلِكَ. Attack them with your foot soldiers and with your cavalry. And you would see that some people, of course, they are not affected. They have godly values that are never affected by these idle talks that you try to spread around. And this is why you will see many people are really more inclined towards the hereafter, towards Akhirah. They remember their death. If you remember, we said one of the most effective means of shaitan is if he can just make you forget your death. If you forget it, you are just a defenseless type of means in his hand, that he can do whatever he wants with you. Because you have forgotten your death, then all the promises come, all the desires, contemplations, aspirations would come into your mind, and this is what he creates in our mind. Now, what are his promises? Again, of course, from what we can understand from the Quran. In Surah Baqarah, says, "Ash-shaytan يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِنْهُ وَفَضْلَ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Shaitan promises you poverty and therefore orders you to indecent acts to cover for that poverty, of course. And Allah promises you a mahra from Himself and fadl, which is of course the opposite of poverty. If you come to Him, He would cover up for whatever you have done in the past, and then He will give you from your past. Now, from this verse we understand that it is not only Shaitan which is working in our contemplation, in our mind, in our soul. There is from the other side the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are working in our contemplation. And depending to which side we give in, we become from that party, from the, either the party of Shaitan or the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not only Shaitan that has this power of working, whispering in our heart, in our mind. There is the opposite side coming as well. Now, how Shaitan promises you fakhr? Okay, anything you want to do. If you want, for example, to dedicate specific time of yours to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to worship, He would come to you, oh, you are sitting idle here just talking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about your children? Don't they have any right? Shouldn't you go and get some subsistence for them as well? Well, you have to do it. You have to work hard in this world and all the other things which follow. And in this way, He all the time tells us, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, you would go poor. What about yourself? What about your children? What about your future? And all these things come. If you want to give a sadaqah, for example, well, aren't your children more deserving for this sadaqah than the people that you are going to give them? They are, well, they have priority over the others. If you give it to them, then what about the future of your children? What about the future of your family? And all these things would come to someone's mind. And you can imagine about the king, for example. You see, Muawiyah really annihilated himself, just, and his religion and his faith and whatever, if he had any faith, just to make Yazid his successor and give the rule to Banu Umayyah. Okay, of what use? What use had that for himself? He passed away with the burden of all the sins and wrongdoings that Banu Umayyah did after him. So, but why did he do that? Why did he think that he should pass over this power to his children? It's just Shaitan coming in and saying, oh, you have all this power, this bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do you want to keep it only for yourself? Why shouldn't your children have some part of it? If you don't do that, what your children are going to do in future, what your descendants are going to do in future. So why don't you want to give them some part from this? And all these things that come to our mind, the contemplations that Shaitan works in our mind, very, very strongly, of course, for those who give in, and very weakly for those who do not give in. And, of course, as the Quran says, وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. This is the confession of Shaitan himself on the Day of Judgment. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانِ. This is in Surah Ibrahim, verse 22. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانِ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. When everything is finished, of course, everyone has died, they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shaitan is there, human beings are there. And human beings complain to Shaitan that didn't you tell us to do this? Didn't you scare us from the future or whatever? وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانِ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. When everything is finished, Shaitan would say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعْدَ الْحَقِّ. Allah promised you and His promises were truth, were haq. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ. I promised you, فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. And now I have renewed. I'm not going to fulfill any of my promises. What do you want to do? Well, Allah is going to punish me. What can He do with me? Because you can't give me any punishment more than that Allah is going to give me. What do you want to do? And, of course, وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. I didn't have any power or control over you. إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ. I just called you. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ. You can't. What should I do? Why did you come, for example? You could not come very easily. I didn't use my hand, I didn't pull your neck and I didn't get hold of your neck and pulled you towards me and pushed you somewhere. You just did it by a voice. I just said and you followed. you found it interesting. You said, this is good. You have to follow this. Okay. This is not my fault. This is your fault. You chose. And the decoration, another thing. We have desires ourselves. We have aspirations ourselves. But we want to do things to reach to those aspirations. Shaitan comes and decorates those aspirations for us in a very beautiful way that we think that this is the only thing that we have to do. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالُهُ Shaitan decorates for them whatever they do. Give it some embellishment for them. Gives it some embellishment, for example. And you would think that this is the only aim of humankind. This is the only thing that I have to reach. Now, if you look to the values which are going around us, and you just judge them a little bit with the values that Quran is teaching us, you would see how Shaitan has affected the whole human race in their values. Well, one of the values is, of course, that every individual has the right to realize whatever they want. This is the individualistic type of values that the modern society is teaching us. That what the utmost value, the most important value in this world is that every individual should be able to realize their desires. Whatever they do, the desire itself is holy and sacred. And as long as it is not opposing any other people's desire, the society should work towards the realization of that desire, whatever it is. Whether it is related to social aspirations, economical aspirations, and of course pleasures related to human desires like sex, like music, like whatever that we can think. Any aspiration that any person has should be realized in a modern society. And the modern society would work as a whole towards the realization of these aspirations and desires. Now, isn't the modern society really working on for Shaitan? Well, you might say that why shouldn't everyone arise at their aspirations and desires? Well, because lots of aspirations and desires which come to our mind is from Shaitan, isn't it? I mean, the things which we are now talking about, human rights, in many aspects, in many fields of it, are some type of aspirations for human individuals that they want to realize, and they don't find the means if, for example, society prevents them from that. And now people are fighting that, yes, every individual has the right to realize whatever they want, as long as they are not, of course, interfering with other people's desires and aspirations. This is a part of Declaration of Human Rights, isn't it? Well, it is inherent in Declaration of Human Rights. Well, of course, Declaration of Human Rights in many aspects has lots of good things in it. It curbs the arbitrary powers to interfere with human beings' affairs, their personal affairs. But in many aspects and respects as well, it is putting fuel into this call of Shaitan towards realization of human bound desires. And now, if you work in this way, aren't we, well, I don't know whether we are his foot soldiers or cavalry, because sometimes human beings might become the cavalry of Shaitan rather than being good soldiers. And inadvertently, many religious people are following this call to help the individual desires to become realized, to become materialized, while we know many different species, so to speak, of these desires are the types that Shaitan is trying to inculcate into our minds and into our society. Okay. There is one more interesting aspect of the work of shaitan, and that is the allocation of one shaitan to a person, to every person, which Quran talks about very much. That if shaitan finds that you are working for him very well, you are somehow a very valuable food soldier for him as a human being, you are spreading his word very nicely, then he would appoint a guard for you. Well, or the Quran says Allah would appoint a guard for you from shaitan. Of course, meaning that he would let them to come to you. He would somehow take the barrier between you and the shaitan, and they can come and join you and accompany you in whatever you do in all moments of your life. In Surah Fussilat, verse number 25, it is mentioned that the verses وَقَيَّضْنَا لَهُمْ قُرَنَاء فَزَيَّنُوا لَهُمْ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَحَقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَوْلُ فِي أُمَمٍ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنَ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا خَاسِرِينَ. We have appointed some companies for them, for the disbelievers, for the hypocrites. We have made some companies to go and join them. We have appointed some companies. What they do, they just decorate for them whatever comes to them or whatever has passed for them. The past and the future, they decorate. In the past, what has happened, they try to analyze it in a very decorated way. In the future, what's going to come, they would decorate it in a nice way. فَزَيَّنُوا لَهُمْ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَحَقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَوْلُ. And the word will be realized about them, as we mentioned in the beginning of Surah Yasin. And then they will enter in whatever other creatures of jinn and ins had entered, and they will go to hell. Now, these Qurana, these companies, are explained in a better way, in a more clear way, in Surah Zukhruf, verse number 36. The verse says, وَمَنْ يَأْشُوا عَنْ ذِكْرَ الرَّحْمَانِ نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِيبٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَصُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Whoever goes blind from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would appoint a shaitan for him. نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِيبٌ. He would become a company for them. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَصُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ. And whatever they want to do, they turn them from the right path. Now, as I said, they have no power to do that. They cannot use their hands to turn us anywhere. But what they do, whatever we think, whatever we contemplate, whatever desire we have, it comes from their side. And then they decorate it in a way that we think that this is the only path to be followed. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَصُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. They think that they are, of course, guided ones. They think that they are enlightened, intellectuals. Other people are lay people, are illiterate people. They are backward people. They cannot understand anything. It is us who understand things. It is us who are now modernized, who live in a in our time, in our place, other people are living in the past. This is how they come and make things for them to be very colorful, very breathtaking, so to speak. But they don't know that whatever comes, it would come from this company of them, which is following them step by step. Wherever they go, he is with them. Actually, he sticks to their, like a virus, like something which sticks to our nerves, for example. They stick to our heart, they stick to our soul, and we cannot do anything. anymore. It would become very difficult to drive them away. We are somehow captured by a shaitan. We are somehow a captive of a shaitan, of a jinn. Shaitan from jinn, of course. Which tells us what to do all the time, which whispers in our heart and in our mind what to do all the time. And this is, of course, a punishment. Ibrahim, if you remember, he says to his father the first time, he says, Ya Abate, إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَنْ يَمَسَّكَ عَذَابٌ مِّنَ الرَّحْمَنِ. I fear that a punishment from Rahman comes to you, since you are worshipping idols. فَتَكُونَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَّ. And you will become a friend of Shaitan. He will come and stick to you, he accompanies you, never ever you go anywhere, but he will be with you. They will be with you, they will follow you. And they, if they come and overwhelm us, if they come and get hold of us, we are told in Surah Mujadala, استحوذ عليهم الشيطان. Shaitan overwhelmed them, captured them, فأنصاهم ذكر الله. And the ذكر of Allah totally goes out of their mind, out of their heart. And they become a party, a head, a member of the party of Shaitan. أولئك حزب الشيطان ألا أن حزب الشيطان هم الخاسرون. Of course, they are the losers. They are the ones who are going to be the losers on the day of judgment. If we become kafir, kafir has many meanings. One of them is to be ungrateful to the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is to deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in Surah Maryam, we are told, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Do you not see we send shayateen to kafirin? تَأُذُّهُمْ عَزَّا. They drive them, they spare them. Somehow this, az or hamz, they are the same thing. When, for example, you ride the horse and you spare it with some sort of spook or something, and they are driven forward very more quickly. Shaitan does this to kafirin as well. He comes and instigates. Somehow puts fuel in whatever we think, in whatever we contemplate. تَعُذُّهُمْ عَزَّى. And we are told, the Prophet is told, وَقُلْ رَبَّ أَعُوذُ بَكَ مِنْ حَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِ. I seek refuge with you from these spurs of shaitan, these instigations of shaitan. So the only thing shaitan does, contemplation, desires, instigation. Instigation is a very important thing. And wherever we want to start something or we want to recite Quran, we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, is from his instigation, from his spurs. Of course, he cannot do anything else. That's the only thing he do. Even that shaitan which accompanies a kafir, a person, the only thing he does is just all the time whispering. And that means we are not all the time, if we are mu'mins, we are not all the time at the mercy of shaitan or in his hand, under his control. He just comes to us sometimes. And if he finds us a good prey, then he would appoint one of his cavalry to us, a shaitan that will become our qareen, and we will be with that qareen until we enter the hell, and we will be in one place in the hell. And of course, this qareen, this shaitan, and that human being would quarrel with each other in front of, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. قَالَ قَرِينُهُ. When they come to me, the qareen from jinn, because both of them are going to be punished. There's no difference between jinn and ins. Now, قَالَ قَرِينُهُ رَبَّنَا مَا أَدْخَلْتُهُ. He said, well, Allah would ask him, why did you do this to this human being? Why did you make all these instigations, contemplations, desires, and all these things you put in his mind? قَالَ قَرِينُهُ. He said, رَبَّنَا مَا أَدْخَلْتُهُ. I didn't do that. وَلَكِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي ظَلَامٍ بَعِيدٍ. He himself was going astray. He himself was misguided. I didn't do anything.
قال قرينه ربنا ما أطغيته ولكن كان في ضلال بعيد. And apparently the human tries to answer and to refute what he said. قال لا تختصموا لدي. You are not going to quarrel in front of me, before me, with each other. وقد قدمت إليكم للوعيد. I sent to both of you my promises and whatever you had to know regarding this day. ما يبدل القول لدي. Now I'm not going to change whatever I said. You will be dealt as I said, as I told, as I sent you my message. ما يبدل القول لدي وما أنا بظلام للعبيد. So they will go together before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will go to hell together. And they are the people, both that jinn hates that human being, because he was the one who drives him to do all those deceivings and all those mischief. Well, of course, he liked to do that. And the human being hates that shaitan, because he was the one who brought him eventually here. And unfortunately, they are going to live there with each other forever in one cell. And this is one of the most severe punishments for these two people who very much hate each other, and they have to live with each other. Now, there's one other thing I want to mention, and that is, shaitan can never inspire a good cause. Whatever they inspire is a bad cause. And if someone comes with you with a good cause, you should know that this is not from shaitan, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Surah Shu'ara. Of course, people were saying that it's a jinn who brings this Quran to the Prophet, peace be on him. This is what the kuffar of Mecca was saying, because they couldn't say anything else. They couldn't refute what the Prophet said. They couldn't bring something like it in terms of the eloquence and elegance of the literature. So what they said, this is what jinn would bring to the Prophet, the shayateen. Now, the Surah Shu'ara, end of Surah Shu'ara, verse 210, it says, وَمَا تَنَزَّلَتْ بِالشَّيَاطِينَ. Shayateen have not brought this down to the heart of the Prophet. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُمْ. And they do not deserve it. وَمَا يَسْتَثِيُونَ. And they cannot do such a thing. They cannot bring such nice, such tenable, such decent talk, words to be spread among the people. Whatever comes from shaitan is indecency. As shaitan يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَحْشَاءُ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءُ. Okay, it's indecency which comes from him. It's foul values which comes from him. It is adverse and mischievous type of thoughts and ideas which comes from the shaitan. Nothing else can come from the shaitan. So whatever which is decent, which is nice, which draws us nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is certainly not from the shaitan. It's from a malak, from an angel, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming to our heart. And this is much more powerful than what the shaitan does in our heart and in our contemplation, in our mind. And in this way, if we follow shaitan, certainly we have no excuse on the day of judgment that you had made him powerful over me, because of course the power was just a sound, a shriek, and there are other sounds, other voices coming from angels to us. And if you follow them, inshallah, shaitan will be defeated. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ
Okay, can you hear the question and answer? There are two mics on the ladies' side and three on the gents. Can you start with the Israeli?
Okay. Is there a simple way of determining what is inherently my personal thought or desire, or what is an influence by Shema? Is every, if you like, negative or un-Islamic or something, if like a general consensus, not right, is that necessarily the whole shamanic influence or goods that could be just here?
It originates from us. And as soon as Shaitan realizes that there is something that he can use and he can somehow nurture and cause to grow and affect other people, they would come. I usually say they are like sharks, they smell blood. They smell foul ideas, foul contemplations. As soon as they smell there is some foul contemplation and desire somewhere, they would go to make use of it. It's just like, for example, if you drop a 10-pound note in the street, you will see how people would rush towards it, isn't it? I mean, if there is no one attending it. And as soon as you initiate, originate a foul idea, and as soon as the shaitan can realize that this is something they can use, they come, of course, very quickly. And they would put fuel into that foul desire and idea. It is from us, yes, that's right, and that's why if Shaitan was not there, we could have gone astray as well. And of course, not that many of people could have gone astray, but still we could have been at the juncture of going towards right and wrong. Now, the story of Adam and Eve also tells us that the origin of false desires come from ourselves. If you remember, Shaitan told to Adam that there is a tree of eternity in this garden, that if you eat from it, you can become like angels. Now, that desire he found in Adam and Eve, that they want to be like that, they want to live forever there. And if they didn't want to live forever there, of course they would have said, no, we don't want to eat from that tree. Show us a tree that we eat and we die sooner, for example. We go to our Lord. That's better for us. So the origin is from us, but the danger is that the ideas and desires that come to our mind are not as dangerous. But as soon as the shaitan finds it and dwells on it and tries on it and tries to make use of it, then they will become dangerous. They will decorate them in a way that we certainly are drawn towards them.
That's right. So, how do I know that I have exceeded that stage? On a day-to-day basis, how do I know that Shaitan has definitely come into my pathway and now is influencing me? Are there any methods suggestions laid down by the Prophet or the Imam or whatever in terms of how can one, if you like, on a regular basis reflect? Could it be peer-to-peer reflective exercise? Should I be sitting with Ahmad every month and say, Ahmad, shall we just spend half a day today? And let's just see if there is Shaitan influencing me. You tell me and I'll tell you. But Ahmad's Shaitan may be the same as my Shaitan. So how do I choose my peer? If I go randomly to five people, what is the guarantee? Should these five people go through a professional course of development into the meeting of Shaitanic thoughts, if you like? How do
you
do it? How do
you
know?
There is a verse at the end of Surah A'raf saying that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا. The muttaqeen, as soon as they are hit by a visit from Shaitan. A ta'if, ta'if means going round, for example, tawaf in Kaaba. So if they find that Shaitan is just going round them, as soon as this happens, they would realize it. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. And they are very sharp seeing people. They can see very clearly that this is from Shaitan. And وَإِخْوَانُهُمْ. And those who are already brothers of Shaitan, already friends of Shaitan, يَمُدُّونَهُمْ فِي الْغَيْرِ. They come, they do whatever they want, ثُمَّ لَا يُخْصِرُونَ. And of course, they have no mercy. upon a person in terms of taking, dragging them into false desires and false promises. وَهُمْ لَا يُقْسِرُونَ. They don't have any shortcoming, they do not fall short of any type of means to take them towards that. Now, what the verse tells us, of course, again, it certainly does not answer the question, because it brings another question. What the verse tells us is that if you try for taqwa, taqwa is a barrier which it is a barrier in the sense that it will prevent shaitan to come near you. They might come and go around you, but they cannot enter the heart, penetrate the heart. And secondly, taqwa gives you a means that you can realize whether this is from shaitan or this is from Allah. And this is mentioned, of course, in other verses of the Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. So the believers are about two kinds there. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. In tattaqullah. If you fear, yaj'al lakum furqana. He would give you a means, a furqan, by which you could differentiate, discern between evil and between right, between what comes from the shaitan and what comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, I don't think it is possible to go to different people and find out, because those people themselves might be from the food sources of shaitan. So we cannot really trust other people as well. What we can trust is, first of all, to purify and somehow make ourselves sincere towards the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then try to understand His values, what He wants to tell us, how we should be in His eyes. And if we practice in this way, hopefully, inshallah, after a while, that Quran will be given to us that we can realize very quickly. If a person talks, we can realize, is this talk a shaitani talk or a rahmani talk? Is this going to take us towards routes which shaitan wants or towards the routes which Rahman wants? So, I don't think there is any practical thing that we can really find out at the beginning except trying to increase the taqwa.
Can you go to the sister before you come to Sir Fawzi, sir? Sister, there are two ways. One in the front and the back, if somebody wants it, and just trying to pass it.
Just to touch on the point of the Mizar said, some of the examples you've given, for example, the person who works, or Shaitan tells you, work more, and then you should do it for your children, and neglect your prayers, etc. These are extreme examples, so one can go either very extreme in one way or very extreme in the other way, where you pray all the time and neglect your children, for example. Most of us are trying to find the balance in the middle, and that's where we should be. Now, at that point, when a suggestion comes in your mind, can you discern or put it through a litmus test and say, this is a right one or a wrong suggestion? Or if your niyyah is good, is that enough?
Well, you are asking very difficult questions. Shaitan have not told me. Yeah, I think what I can say again is that if we try to understand what are the values that God tries to teach us, we can differentiate between the two, and we can find the balance. This is very important, finding the balance. Sometimes shaitan comes from the other way, that while Allah would attend to your children, you go to a cave and worship for yourself, and why do you want to attend them? Leave it to Allah, have tawakkul, and all these things. You see, he's very, very clever. He knows from what direction, from what side he has to attack you, and attacks you from that side. So, I think what shaitan draws on very much is ignorance of a person from what Allah tries to teach us by his messengers, by the good people, or whatever. So, to increase our knowledge of religion is somehow a protection against shaitan. Of course, if that is done sincerely, in a sincere way, because you might become very great ulama, still a soldier in hands of shaitan. So, if we are sincere, and if we have the knowledge of what Prophet really taught and what Prabhupada really preached, I don't think Shaitan can ever deceive any one of us. So the two things, sincerity and of course knowledge, these two, if they are together, then Shaitan cannot defeat us.
You mentioned sort of in passing, and I don't know if I understood you correctly, even looking at the verse that you quoted, it is God who appoints guardians, and then you sort of said on behalf of Shaitan, who instigates his desires, etc. When you say it is God who appoints, I mean, then how can we say that God has no part in it? Is it really God who is appointing it, or is it just a metaphorical way of saying it?
No. How the Exodus actually explained these type of verses, because we have lots of other verses which, like for example, يُظَلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَحْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا, Allah guides many and misguides many. They say either this comes as a punishment and Allah does it as a punishment to them. In fact, a jinn can be appointed by God as a punishment for someone. Or, of course, the better way of explaining it is that Allah would leave them to be at the peril of becoming in that situation, becoming, for example, susceptible to a shaitan going to them. And I think if we think about it more carefully, this is a right way of explaining it, because, for example, we have protection by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitans coming to us. Now, if we take that protection, if we think that we do not deserve that protection, then that shaitan would automatically go and takes hold of the person. And in this way, you can say Allah has appointed that shaitan. Half metaphorical, half real, actually. But according to the Shi'i faith, certainly Allah would not work for the shaitan, and Allah would not let shayateen to use his power for themselves. Of course, everything is using Allah's power. But what they have, the decisions that they make is their own decisions. The power they use is the power of Allah. As for everything else, as for us, for example, we make a decision, what we use is the power of Allah to realize those decisions. The shayateen, the same. They make a decision, it's the power of Allah that they use. So it's half metaphorical, half real, I think.
I'm not sure there's a lot of difference between forsaking the human being for his bad actions and actually appointing. And the terminology used is actually that he has appointed them. Surely that was against the second exegesis that you think is more appropriate.
Well, if we are Ash'arites, it's very easy to explain it. They say, yes, Allah would appoint them, and that is a punishment for them. And we have in Shi'i viewpoint some exegetes who say this, that it's a punishment. So whichever way you take it, of course, the verse is very clear. It says Allah appoints these shayateen to them, those who completely go blind of Allah's remembrance. Now, I may ask one other question, and that is, who gives the people the punishment in the hell? Is it Allah who gives them the punishment, or is it them who have brought that punishment upon themselves? Well, certainly you would say that it's Allah who punishes them, and in the Quran we have that Allah punishes them. But why Allah should punish? Certainly because they are right, they deserve it. If they are not punished, they would do other things which are more right. Now, if that punishment which comes in the hell comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, couldn't we say that even these happenings in this world as a result of what we have done could be a punishment from Allah coming by him. Yet he appoints a shaitan to us that would misguide us as a result of what we have done already. So, you see, it's very difficult to explain whether he appoints or he forsakes a person to be at their control. But this is how the Quran speaks. It's more like Ash'arite type of thinking than a Shia type of thinking.
One final, if you don't mind, because the actual verse is Alam tara anna arsalna shayateen, so it's not even a point. It's just like arsalna rusul, it's like arsalna shayateen. So I mean, it's a bit more than just even a point thing, it's actually sending them.
Yeah. Well, as soon as he has created these shayateen, actually has sent them to us, because eventually they come to us. So his creation of these shayateen are actually his act of sending them to us. There is a nice story about this. You know, one of the greatest companions of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Nu'man, was a very close friend of Abu Hanifa, and they always made jokes with each other. And there are lots of instances of these. Even there is a book written about the discussions and arguments between Abu Hanifa and Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Nu'man. And whenever they met each other, they pulled each other's legs, so to speak. And once Abu Hanifa was teaching in the mosque, and Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Nu'man entered the mosque, and Abu Hanifa said, "Yes, Shaitan has entered, now let's listen from the Shaitan." And Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Nu'man said, "Well, yes, I have come by order of Allah, because Allah says, 'Alam tara anna arsalna shayateen ila al-kafirin ta'udhuhum azzaa.' So he has sent me to you too." So, well, whether he sends shayateen or whatever, well, this is how Quran talks. Yeah.
Sheikh, when it comes to the balance between saving our wealth for ourselves and our family and using it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do we strike the balance? Because from Imam Ali we learned that he used to keep enough money for a meal and then give the rest to charity. For us, what is it?
No, you don't do that.
No.
Okay. Because that was Imam Ali. He was very much cared for by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not like him.
Okay, so is there any guidance for us in the Sharia today?
Of course, all these rules set by Sharia is the guidance of Sharia for us. That you keep whatever you have, you give the homes and zakat. And you can keep, and of course, haqqun ma'loom, which is mentioned in the Quran, charities that you have to give, you receive rewards. It's certainly human intellect inspired by Allah's guidance that could decide how much they have to keep for themselves, how much they have to give as charity and sadaqah. What is important is hoarding money is not good. If you have money, you put it in business, you put it in production and all these things, and of course whatever you gain, some part of it you keep for yourself, some part of it you give to fuqara, to the needy, and that part that you keep for yourself, certainly you do not hoard it again, you put it in production, this is all good. But as long as you try to hoard for the future, this is something which is not advisable at all.
Can you take a question from one and then we go to the ladies? Just a clarification. When we are created, and as you said, that we are created as your eye, it is the environment or people who take us astray rather than us being inherently that we want to go astray. But earlier you said that we have something in us that we want to go astray, and therefore, even without your family, we would have gone astray.
No,
because Allah says that He blew His soul into us, in the sense that we were pure. Because
his soul is not a mere creator. So therefore, I say that when he blew his soul in part of him into us,
there was something wrong within that or not?
No, of course, the soul is not part of him. He is a creation of him, that soul. the ruh of which we have very little knowledge. But in other verses he says, فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Both fujur and taqwa is inspired into our hearts. So we know how to go vile, how to go vicious, and we know how to go righteous and how to go good. So both these things are, the knowledge of these two are given to us. And we have given free will to choose. And this is the whole idea of this world, of course. The idea of this world coming before the other world. Therefore, even if shaitan is not there, if we have vicious ideas, we can realize them because we have that knowledge of viciousness. As Allah says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And this is somehow a perfection. Perfection is not that we only know good. Perfection is that we know both good and bad. We choose the good rather with our own free will rather than just being forced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards goodness.
If you are able to know that it's bad, because there's no shaitan, so you know bad. But if you're able to know that bad, you have inherently ourselves know that this is bad, because maybe there is not something which says that it's bad, so therefore there's already there bad into things in us, rather than that's good. That, you know, we're saying it is not us. I mean, it is not ourselves, our inner self that makes it good or bad. It is the environment, it should be the Hadith of the Prophet, that it would be like the others around you that makes you bad. Having a knowledge, I choose from good and bad is different from being inherently, that you have that in you to go towards bad.
You mean that we have the knowledge of good and bad, and but without shaitan we cannot go towards the bad.
We already know that.
Well, if we have the knowledge of bad, the
but this is not shaitan.
I mean, before shaitan actually going astray, who misled him? This is a question put about jinn as well. Who would mislead jinn? It's themselves. It comes from, because they are given the knowledge of good and bad as well. So they themselves will go astray. And shaitan, before he going astray, there was no one to whispering to him. He himself went. And we are the same creatures as them. So it is possible for us. And there is a verse in the Quran which is very interesting. The Exodus says it's about a person called Bal'am Ba'ur. Of course there are differences of opinion about it. And the verse says, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِهِ فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. Give them the report of the account of a person to whom we gave our signs. He was very knowledgeable. But he came out of them. After he came out of them, actually he forsook them for his own desires. فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaitan found out. After he went astray, Shaitan found out and went to actually make use of him. Just smelled the foul smell of those wrongdoings. فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْعَرْضِ. The same type of thinking came to his mind that I can live with this power and ayat Allah has given me forever in this world, on this earth. So as soon as he thought like this and he came out of those ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shaytan went to him and then started to make use of him. So sometimes Shaitan finds out even a bit later after we have gone astray, and as soon as he finds out he comes and he makes use of that.
Yes.
If we go back to the situation with Shaitan and he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the characteristics or the attributes or whatever you could call them that he had for disobeyed, we find that in us.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't realize it, that we have it. For example, arrogance, you think we are better than other people. We are better as a caste, as a community than other people, or whatever. I mean, you can go as humanitarian rights, that we have the right because we feel that we are not harming anyone else. Again, it's a kind of a pride. But do you think that we can convince ourselves so well when we have the first analysis of what happened between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Shaytan and disobedience that causes us to, you know, accept that particular bit of it.
The arrogance.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
And greed and a lot of things that's attributed at that time to Shaytan that caused him to do what.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, you see, why some people follow Shaitan and some do not follow? If it was only Shaitan who misguided people, he either should have misguided everyone or should not have the power to misguide anyone. The very fact that he can misguide some and cannot do some, or he does this in different magnitudes, shows that it is us ourselves who decides before Shaitan can do anything. And of course, the most powerful drive for that is pride and arrogance. As it drew Shaitan away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would drive us away from Him. And as soon as we are expelled from the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shaitan would come and take hold of us. So yes, that's true.
Because we find everybody thinks they are right when they have an opinion.
Yeah.
Everybody feels their opinion is right. Isn't this part of the cause of Shaitan
leaving the witch soldiers? That's very interesting, because this idea of that everyone is entitled to their opinions, which of course we have it in the modern world, is something we really have to think about. And I think for a person, the most urgent and important thing is to find out what are the real Islamic values given to us and try to mold ourselves according to those values. And it's very hard, of course, because you are brought up with some values which are given to you by your society. And then it's very, very difficult, even for Muslims. I mean, even in Islamic countries, you are brought up with values which most of them are not right values, of course. And we think that they are very right, they are very just. And as long as we have not found out those values and then discern between right opinion and wrong opinion, we ourselves have lots of opinions that we think that they are completely correct, and that might be a work of Shaitan. So this very whole notion of the modern society, which is based on this idea of everyone is entitled to their opinion and the democracy is based on that, I don't know, we don't have any better solution than this for a society at the moment, but I'm certainly positive that this is not right. This is something which would lead us to, I mean, if you look at the whole, all democracies of the world, you will see the percentage of faith in these societies are much, much lower than percentage of faith in those dictatorial societies. Not that dictatorial is good, it's very bad, it's wild, it's from Shaitan. But this society, this type of value has not produced something which is more towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is more away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What would be the better solution? We haven't worked on this. And there are lots of work that we have to do as Muslims, as Muslim intellectuals, to find out what is really the opinion that we have to advocate, the opinion that we have to expose. And sometimes we expose opinions that is only from Shaitan and we don't know ourselves. So this is something really, really, really scary.
Sisters?
Yes.
Do you think how do Shaitans multiply and do they have a lifespan like do they die?
Yes, of course they die, and they have lifespan, because they are jinn. Whatever we say about jinn, we have said about shayateen. And the jinn, as we mentioned last time, there are very good people among them, very good jinns, of course, we cannot call them people. Very good jinns among them, there are very bad jinns among them. They fight against each other, among themselves, and they kill each other sometimes. So, the shayateen have a lifespan, And probably, I'm not sure, but probably a shaitan which is appointed to a person would die with that person. Because they are so close and interlinked to each other that that shaitan has become part and parcel of the soul of a person. And when that person dies, the shaitan would die with him as well. That is probable, I don't know. So sometimes the lifespan of a jinn would be the lifespan of a human being. And sometimes it would be much, much longer. We don't know.
And how did the woman do that?
Well, they married. How they married, we don't know. And they have reproduction. How they do it, we don't know. Well, if you believe in the Lord of the Rings, you can say that a jinn can and elf can marry a human being, and sometimes they can reproduce among themselves. Yeah.
I'd like to ask you just on a practical point about admonishing. Because from your talk, it seems that someone that admonishes and advises properly is one that admonishes and advises with a focus on the hereafter and on death, basically. And is this what is meant in the Quran when it says, what the world saw with haq? Because in the Quran, I think it's in the Quran, it says that this world is batil. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So is that what it means? Or?
Well, certainly any advice which doesn't have that factor in mind is a wrong advice. But advising always for the hereafter is not, of course, a good advice. If you look into the advice of Amirul Mu'mineen Nahjul Balagha to different people, you would see he always has that akhirah in mind. But he advises people for the dunya as well. For example, he advises Malik Ashtar how he has to run his army, how he has to run his country, how he has to run his economy and other things, how he has to deal with different people. But all the time, whatever he says, he's somehow shadowed by the thing, the thought of the hereafter, that you are going to die, so be careful, you make the right decisions and all these things. Certainly, I mean, you can say that if someone, for example, advised me that since you are going to die, so you better go and become a monk and have your attention all the time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not do anything for this world. This was very nice in the past for even some companions of the Prophet, which Prophet certainly prevented them from doing. That no, there are You are a social being, you have to live in society, you have to encounter all these difficulties that other people encounter, and at the same time you have to be a pious person. I don't think a person who goes to a cave or who goes to his own solitude to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever level they reach, I don't think they can reach the level of a person who has the same attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they live in society and they encounter all those tests and difficulties that other people encounter. I mean, you can say to a monk that you are not looking for any children, you are not looking for your, you are not caring for your family, you have no work, you have no business, you have nothing to do, you can praise, worship Allah from the morning, in the to the evening, you can sleep very early, wake up very early in the morning, everything is in order for you, and why shouldn't you worship your Lord? Why shouldn't you come to those positions? Now, come to the society, look after the family, look after your own self, encounter other things, and then be the same as you are in that monastery of yours, to see whether you could or not. Of course, if a person could do that in a society, is successful. There is a saying in Nahjul Balagha by Amirul Mu'mineen. Amirul Mu'mineen says, Isa alayhi salam was very lucky because he didn't have to look after any family. He didn't have someone to look after. And he could just completely put his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But why didn't Amirul Mu'mineen do the same thing? Couldn't he do that? Certainly he could do it. But that was not the thing which, of course, Isa alayhi salam did it for a purpose. That was not something that awliya Allah were ordered to do. They are ordered to live ordinarily as other people live, have the same difficulties as other people have, and then have their attention completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you very much, Shaykh. I think we're going to stop here.
Thank you.